welcome to a Redemption Cell audio podcast. We had talked about answering some questions to help equip the body. So that is what we'll be doing in this podcast. With this specific recording, we will be diving into some of your questions about the Holy Spirit. So let's get into it. The first question that we have is, what is a good way to tell when you're saying something led by the Spirit or just speaking, especially in discipleship groups or in evangelism? It's said, let the Spirit lead, but what does that look like? This is definitely a good question to kick things off with, because everyone who has thought about the Spirit has probably wrestled with this to some degree or another. The opening way that I would start to think about processing if the Spirit is leading what you are saying in a conversation would be to first understand that the Spirit is a person, not a force, not Yoda or anything like that. So if you're wondering if the Spirit is helping to lead you in a conversation or giving you something specific to say, the first question I would ask is, are you asking the Spirit to lead you before you even ask that question? I don't think that the Spirit has to be prompted each and every time it begins to speak to you. But in a relationship with the person of the Spirit, if we're never asking him to actually lead, it is very, very doubtful that he is going to continually end up speaking to us. So that's kind of the first thing. If we're wondering if the Spirit is speaking to us, we probably need to ask, are we those who are asking him to speak? Now, in this question of wondering if we're just kind of speaking for ourselves or the Spirit, I'm going under the assumption that we're talking about in the middle of a conversation, you just kind of are talking and wondering like, hey, is that me or the Holy Spirit, or how does that go? So something specific that you're wondering if you're saying that or the Spirit is asking you to say that. So if you get to a situation and wonder if it is the Spirit who is in fact guiding you, I would begin to put that thought into a couple filters. To figure out if it's the Spirit, the first thing I would do is ask, is this thing that I feel like I need to say or do sinful? Right? Is it wrong in the specific elements of a conversation or a DNA group or something like that? Are you about to say something that could be gossip or slander, or maybe it's filled with some frustration that you've been holding over from the week before? If that's the case, then that's definitely not the Spirit. So just tier one, filter one that I put it through is it sinful? Is it wrong? Could it be looked at as maybe shady? And if so, that's definitely not the Spirit. And if you can pass that, then I would move into, is this thing that I feel like maybe I should say or lead the conversation into, is it neutral then? And if it's neutral, then I'd begin to ask these other questions. Well, okay, if it's not wrong, but I feel like I need to say this, is this something that I already wanted to say before? Is it something that I'd been thinking about already, that I'd kind of been looking for an in to say already? If that's the case, then that's probably not the Spirit. That's probably you trying to say or do what you want through the conversation. Another way maybe to look at it is if you feel like you're wanting to push a conversation in a certain way because you know it could maybe get an outcome that you want, there's a decent chance that that is not the Spirit either. So if you can get past both of those kind of initial filters, no, it's not wrong, and no, it's not something neutral that actually kind of gets what I already wanted, then we begin to press into kind of like a gospel motivation. And if you're wondering if the Spirit is leading you into some sort of gospel motivation into a conversation, there's some other things that you would need to kind of ask. Is what I'm about to say or what I'm thinking about saying, is it maybe just filled with self-help? Is it filled with moralism? Is it filled with just therapy to make the person feel better at the moment? If that's the case, then there's a decent chance that is not the Spirit, but just you kind of wanting to kind of help in the conversation. The Spirit will always point to Jesus as far as gospel conversations go. So making sure that the hero of what you're about to say is Jesus is a really important part. because we in ourselves can easily want people to just feel better when the Spirit generally wants people to see Jesus. How can they see Jesus through a situation? Now, other things that the Spirit does that may not be as clear as if that's just kind of like your memory or the Spirit working, the Spirit will bring Scripture back to memory. It will point to certain truths that you have read and understood before. So it can be a little gray on whether that's the Spirit reminding you of those or if that was just kind of you or not. Either way, that's kind of a good thing than that when that happens. One area that I think helps me a lot to know if the Spirit is specifically pressing in one specific thing is when the Spirit presses me or prompts me to talk about something in a conversation, there'll be almost like this forceful push. Like I will know that I need to do something. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm supposed to say this, and I will have the option to then not say it or move forward and actually say it. And that is generally when I know the Spirit is leading me, once I know that that thing isn't sinful for my own good, isn't some just moral junk, but you feel this push from behind you that you really don't kind of want to say, but you have the option to trust or not in the moment. That's generally the Spirit. Sometimes in discipleship conversations, the Spirit can also say, hey, trust me, go this way. And you'll feel really clearly that you need to do that. And that's an opportunity for you to trust as well. So I hope that's a little bit helpful, at least to have a couple filters to judge whether the Spirit is speaking to you, specifically in a conversation that you are having with someone. The second question that we have is, how do we know if the Holy Spirit is telling us not to do something? For example, sometimes in the book of Acts, the Spirit tells Paul not to preach in certain areas. How do we distinguish this between our own desires? This is another really good question, focusing on the opposite of commission, but how do we know when we're supposed to stop, to pause, to yield to the Spirit's leading? Paul, in the example given when he was told not to preach in certain areas, the way I understand these texts is he actually wanted to, but then the Spirit told him not to. Generally, the way I think that works is if we have something that the Spirit wants us to stop doing, we'll think of it or try and pursue it, and we'll have this strong awareness grow inside of us. I just kind of call it like a welling up, not really of anxiety, but of force, saying like, I don't do that. And generally, it'll be in context to something that we would have done or wanted to do already. For me, an example I can kind of think of is I have for a while enjoyed bourbon. I like to have a glass of bourbon. I like to have a glass on many nights. And there was a time early in this year where all of a sudden I just felt, I was downstairs in the basement, it was midday, I wasn't about to have a glass of bourbon or anything like that, but I just felt this sense of like, you need to not have bourbon for a little bit. And it kind of caught me off guard because I think I was cleaning or doing something else, but it was just really clear, the sense of this thing that you're doing and want to do, you need to not do it. And I had to kind of process that because I wasn't over drinking in the sense that I wasn't getting drunk or anything like that. I just enjoyed a glass of bourbon, and all of a sudden I had this feeling, you need to kind of stop that. And I had to wrestle with myself over that a little bit, going like, man, this is ridiculous. I'm not hurting anything. Like, why in the world would I need to not have a glass of bourbon anymore? And I realized that my flesh may need to take a break if I was fighting back against that. But I just had this really clear thought that I needed to stop doing something. That I definitely didn't put that thought in there on my own. It was something that I wanted to do, but I felt a clear sense that I needed to not do it. I think that's kind of how the Spirit works. At different times when he wants to keep you away from things, he'll make it very clear by just showing you that thing and giving you this sense like, hey, you need to stop that for a bit, maybe temporarily or maybe long term, or maybe you need to not do this. And you'll know it, and you'll have the ability then to trust and believe what he says, or the ability to kind of ignore him. For some, if you'd say, well, you know, I just don't know that I've heard the Spirit tell me not to do anything in a long time, I would ask the question, has he in the past asked you to stop doing many things and you just hadn't listened, and maybe he's just not speaking anymore, it might be a good time to now say, Spirit, speak to me again. I want to hear you. I want to be led by you. Let me draw near to God, and by His Spirit, draw near to me. But if you're doing that and wanting the Spirit to lead you, I believe that you'll know when the Spirit's asking you to stop doing something pretty clearly. And you'll have the choice of whether you want to do it or not. And if you're still confused, you can kind of take that to other trusted believers and tell them what you're experiencing, and maybe they can kind of help you walk through that as well. But I don't think it will be hidden when the Spirit wants us to not do something. The third question that we have for this audio recording is going to be, are there non-traditional practices, i.e. meditation, that we can do to increase our sensitivity to the Spirit? Besides praying and have a daily quiet time, are there other things that we can do to nurture the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? This is a good final question to try and end things on. I've brought Pastor Dennis in to help answer this one and do a little back and forth dialogue with me over this one. So, Dee, what are some of your initial thoughts, non-traditional ways to nurture the presence of the Spirit in your life?
Yeah, I've got two initial thoughts, to be honest. I think first, this is a good desire to have. I'm not gonna front on that. I think it is a good desire to have. I think the second thought I have is that when I see words like alternative and non-traditional, it kind of makes me believe that maybe the traditional means have somehow disappointed people. It didn't live up to the hype, I guess, in some ways for them. And so, it just makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder kind of the questioning.
Yeah, that's good. There can be the side of someone just wanting the presence of the Spirit more, and there can be a side of frustration maybe too. It kind of makes me think you can't get more of Jesus by going to things outside of Jesus to get Him. It just doesn't work that way, and the Spirit would kind of work in the same way. So that's a good thing to bring up. It is a good desire to want the Spirit to work more. I think we still have to, if there's a desire to have the presence of the Spirit work in you more, we still have to first go and say we can't leave the traditional or what we'll call the biblical methods. The first thing, if you want the Spirit to work more in your life, is to ask. Mm-hmm. Ask Him to work. Ask Him to lead you, and do it over and over. The hard part for me is I may ask the Spirit to work in me 1 week, and then, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks later, I've just kind of assumed that the Spirit is there, and I've kind of shifted into doing things on my own and haven't nurtured that relationship, and then all of a sudden it's kind of crickets where the Spirit isn't near to me. So making sure you ask and continue to ask and kind of nurture that relationship is a big deal. Then I think we can look towards like fasting and solitude. Fasting is a way to really quiet or weaken your flesh or your sinful side so that the Spirit side of you can kind of grow a little bit. If you're wanting to nurture the presence of the Spirit in your life more, fasting is a good way to kind of step into that. And solitude as well. I mean, we're so busy and we have so much noise around us that I often think that maybe the Spirit just doesn't have margin to speak. Dennis, do you have ideas as far as solitude or just maybe just quiet for the Spirit to speak to us?
Yeah, I think it's super helpful to get to a quiet place and to seek out solitude when you are trying to nurture the Spirit's presence in your life. I've personally seen the benefits of doing this, getting away from business, getting away from noise, getting away from clutter, going into a quiet time, opening up the Word, asking the Spirit to help me understand His Word, see what it is that He's trying to tell me through His Word. Because our lives are busy. We have a tendency to just fill our schedules up and add more stuff to our lives. And so doing the quiet, doing the solitude is going to be hard at first. I think it's going to be an adjustment period that goes on there. But I think what you'll see is that there's a lot of fruit that you're going to bear because you made this commitment to solitude and quiet in your own personal devotional life.
It's interesting. I've talked to a couple people in the last month or so. And as far as solitude, just said, have you ever tried to drive around in the car with the radio off and not talking to someone on the phone? And I think when we do that, like we kind of geek out a little bit because we are just so used to noise that we almost get anxious and scared when we don't have noise. Mm. And that's going to be really hard for the Spirit to speak to you if you just really don't have any moments of silence. And the sad part is I think people then assume the Spirit doesn't want to talk, but we won't really, at the risk of sounding mean, we won't shut up long enough for him to be able to, or shut the other things up around us long enough for him to be able to speak to us. Another way that we can look at this biblical or traditional method is also responding and obeying. If we want the Spirit to be more active in our lives, when he speaks, respond. We have the habit of responding only if he asks us to do something that we want to do, and then maybe ignoring it other times. And that's never going to help build the relationship. And word and prayer are never going to be things that you cast out if you want the presence of the Spirit to work in you more. So the desire to have the Spirit work more is first going to lead you always back to biblical or AKA traditional methods. But then we can start looking outside of that a little bit if those biblical ones are in place, to things that stir your affection towards the gospel. One of those for me is just being outside, specifically in the mountains or a bike trail or something like that. It produces gratitude in me, which naturally makes my heart a little bit more able to hear the presence of the Spirit around me. Then worship can kind of do the same thing. Worship stirs my affection. Sometimes reading does. And also community can. I know, Dee, you have some feelings about this, about how community as an affection-stirring thing can be good.
Oh, yeah. Community. I'm a people person, so I need to be around people. So I definitely have seen how the Spirit has used community to one, either confirm what I've been praying over, or two, to outright push back on what it is that I am seeking the Spirit for. I think there's also, it comes with a warning too. I think in solitude, we often think that isolation is equates to solitude, and we have to get away from community to hear the Spirit's promptings or where the Spirit might be leading us in our lives. I think at times isolation can be a trap. I think we need to be careful with equating solitude and isolation together in seeking the Spirit for our lives.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, solitude can be moments during the day or hours during the day of quiet, not weeks without other people in the body around. Like, that's just where the enemy tees off on us, when we spend longer times defying God by being disobedient to God. And that kind of brings up the really important caveat when we talk about stirring things that stir your affection. The emergent movement has really moved into the church where people do things like say, you know, hey, I'm just going to skip church and worship today to have, whether it be family time, or I'm going to worship alone at a park on a bench, or I'm going to kind of worship my own way. And we've kind of created these ways that we say that we are worshiping, but we're actually sinning. So we do have to be careful to make sure that the things that are quote unquote stirring our affection aren't actually just stirring our sin and our flesh. So they have to be good things in order to be helpful there. And if you're unsure if some of the things that are stirring your affections for God or the Spirit are good or bad, that's a good time to just maybe ask someone in community around you. Now, we've gone through, there's traditional methods that help us. There's looking at what stirs your affections. If you want the Spirit's presence to be in your life more, the other really huge one that just can't be ignored is sin. The Bible is really clear that the Spirit and sin, or our flesh, will not be able to live together. I think the actual wording is actually our flesh is hostile to the Spirit, meaning violent against, wages war against, rages against. So you cannot hold on to your sin, think it's okay, justify your sin, and not be mindful of how you're living and what's going on in your heart, and think that that is fertile soil for the Spirit to come in and help and walk next to you. It's just not going to work that way. Dennis, do you have thoughts about the seriousness of paying attention to and killing our sin as far as the Spirit's presence in our lives?
Yeah, I think it's just natural that if you want to draw closer to the Spirit, he's going to expose certain pockets of your life that you've been in open rebellion to God with. And I think if you want to see the Spirit work, this is actually a prime area that you see the Spirit do its best work, is when it's eradicating sin out of your life, and when you're submitting these different pockets of your life to the Spirit. And it will feel painful. It'll be hard at times, but if you're nurturing the Spirit's presence, you're going to be killing sin at the same time.
And that's still good news, because as you let the Spirit convict you of and kind of wage war against sin, you see the beauty of the gospel more. Mm. Though we think it may trap us, it frees us. So it's never bad news to have the loving discipline of the Father come down through the Spirit and convict us. Now, the question began with non-traditional methods and said, i.e. meditation. As far as that specifically, meditation in an Eastern religion form, you're definitely not going to nurture the presence of the Spirit through that. If someone means meditation is just quiet and solitude, yeah, definitely, that can be a great thing. There can be moments where you slow down all the noise, like we said before, and that can be a great way for the Spirit to come near and be able to speak to you and nurture that relationship with Him. The other gauge is when someone asks about non-traditional, I just go back to what are the things that stir your affection, and are those things sinful or contrary to what the gospel says? And if they're not, I think they can be ways that can stir gratitude and things for the Spirit to be able to work in you more. I think that's about all the time that we have for this one. We've got a couple more questions already in, and we're going to answer those on the next recording. If you have other questions about the Holy Spirit, feel free to send those to us at info@redemptionshill.com. Or if you have an account on Realm, there's a post about questions about the Spirit on there. Feel free to send those in there. We do hope that this is helpful for you, that this is a good way to build up the saints, and that we can equip you more through some of these audio recordings. So thanks for listening. Have a great day.